kids left. I said to Sandra, it looks like the remnant is left. So the Lord always blessed the remnant. So I hope you're in for a blessing this morning because I have a strong desire to share God's word. It's been with me for many years. And I'm very thankful that I'm able to do that this morning. So if you will turn to your Bible to Psalms 136 with me this morning. Psalms 136 verses 1 to 3. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts. His love endures forever. That's as far as I got when I was reading different passages about Thanksgiving. I turned to this chapter and I got stuck on those three verses. And as a result, I felt that the Lord was kind of, John, concentrate on these three things, these three verses, so that we can learn what it is to be thankful in this day and age. There's lots of scriptures on thankfulness. Keith shared in the breaking of bread this morning in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, this morning I'm going to personalize these three statements in these three verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to God, for he is good. And this is a recurring thought in the Psalms. Psalms 106 repeats this exact same words. So what is he saying? That God is good. But not always do we think God is good. Sometimes life happens and we are challenged in our thinking, and the first thing we probably like to do is kind of blame somebody. We want to blame God. And if you're sitting here this morning and you would have a hard time giving thanks to God for he is good because, and I got a list here, maybe you got ill health. Maybe you have money problems. Maybe you're in grief because of a loss of a loved one or broken relationship. Maybe you have had a constant barrage of vehicle breakdowns. Maybe you have marriage problems, family troubles, church troubles, business challenges, farming and weather. All these things can come at us from different directions, and what do? We want to find out. We want to try to blame somebody for it, and first thing we do is, well, God, you're not very good to me right now, and I can't thank you for it because I'm overwhelmed by these things. You know, Adam, soon as he was confronted by a sin, what did he do? He says, well, God, the woman you put here with me, she made me do it. That's not what he originally reacted to when God brought Eve to him. He says, whoa, or woman. He was very much attracted to her. But now he blames God for the sin. So, because of our sinful bent, we like to blame. And maybe you're sitting there this morning and you're having a hard time giving thanks because God is good. You know, whether we think God is good or not, God is still good. The basis for his goodness is his love endures forever. And you read through this chapter and all the things that he did for the children of Israel keep on coming back to the fact that God is good. However, the best way to deal with what life throws our way is in community, the local church. Do you have enough people around you to help carry you through these times? Do you have friends? When I landed in the hospital a year ago last July, I had a major reaction to the vaccines. I landed up in the hospital. You know, even when I was coming in, Sandra says, "You got to go see the doctor." Even as I was driving in on that July 6th evening, I had a sense of peace. And you know, that peace came from the fact that I have a faith in God that was sustained over the years. And I had a peace even as I went there. And even during my time of in the hospital there, I had a peace. But you know what triggered that peace continually? Was my church family. You guys got behind me in prayer, and I can stand before you today in a lot better measure of health than I had a year ago because of your support in prayer to me. Now, it just didn't happen with you guys praying. There's three guys that visited me. Sandra was consistently just about there every day. And you know, any of you that have gone back and forth to Edmond, you know how tiring that can be. And Sandra was there. My daughter came, but I was limited. They wouldn't allow anybody up on that floor except those two people, my daughter and Sandra. But I was well enough, I could go outside. So I had three guys come to visit me. Andreas Tabert. He came. And we sat out there in that little island out there by the university, and he prayed with me. Another good friend of mine, Chris Huseman, came. He brought me a cold drink. And it was hot. Oh, is it ever hot when I was in the hospital there. Then Kevin came. Kevin Nutt. He brought a book. Spurgeon's Thoughts on Prayer. Prayed with me. And every day he would call me, "John, how are you doing?" And he prayed with me. So he was the arms of God who came and put his arms around me, encouraged me in that time. And the verse that I got from that first chapter I read was Hebrews 4:16. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." The invitation is to go into the throne of grace. That's the throne room of God Himself. And you come in there empty-handed. You have nothing except the fact that you can come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "God, I need help. I need your mercy. I need your grace." And it's a prayer that each and every one of you can pray this morning. If you're going through tough times right now, you can go to the throne of grace. You don't have anything to bring that's going to satisfy God except the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you stand before God and say, "God, please help me." And you know what? He helps you. You'll find grace and you'll find mercy to help in your time of need. So that's the first one. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Now the second one, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. In Deuteronomy, when Moses is writing the reaccounts of the blessings of the children of Israel, he says, God did these things so that they would know that God is God. He's Lord of Lords. He's the great God, the mighty, awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. So I think in this little phrase, give thanks to the God of gods, there's a recognition there are other gods. A rich young man came to Jesus, and I think I'm going to read that. In Mark, Mark 10, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lacked, he says, go and sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. This man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. The litmus test that we all have to face sometimes with what we're involved with and what we're thinking about and what we're doing is, are you willing to sell everything, give to the poor, and follow Jesus? Another time, a lawyer came to Jesus and he says, well, what's the greatest commandment? And love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this lawyer said, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. But you know, how many gods do you have that clutter up your heart or your soul or your strength and mind? Several years ago, I faced a crisis. For years, since high school, I had been in photography. I love photography. I had my own darkroom from high school on. To every house that I've been at, I had my own darkroom. I got books on it. I shot weddings. I shot person. And I was probably shooting at least 3 or 4 films a week or a month. There was times when I would shoot a film a week. That's back before the digital. And I was thinking about my photography, and I was thinking, if I want to continue on with my photography, there were some things I wanted to do that I really wanted to do, and that was be able to take good, sharp pictures of birds. And to do that, the lens that I would need would cost $10,000. And I also wanted to do macro work where I could take pictures of bugs and flowers and that real close up. And that lens was about half that price. And I says, Lord, this is a lot of money. So I'm going to ask you to arbitrate for me. Shall I continue on or shall I stop? And I asked him to do one thing for me. He says, Lord, if you don't want me to continue in this, take the desire I have away for taking pictures. Darn, he did that. You know, I sometimes see people that take great pictures and say, I've been there, done that, I like that. But you know, he's taking that desire away from me because I was willing to say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to let you arbitrate because I didn't want it to become a god in my life. Eric Wong has gone to be with the Lord. He has a history of motorbikes. In fact, he, in one of the sheds at home there, he showed me his original motorbike that he had as a teenager. His goal, as he got older, he wanted this special bike, and I don't remember what it was. It was a beautiful bike. I don't know anything about bikes except it looked pretty good. And Eric had it, and he would come to prayer meeting on Wednesday morning with his bike. But there came a point when he sold it. I says, Eric, why did you sell it? He says, because it was getting in my way of my devotion to God. So he was willing to give up that bike. And when he got that fixed up with the Lord allowed him to go buy another one. And he had that bike. But he was willing to give up something that he really loved so that it would not be in the way of honoring God. Is God God in your life? Do you have the time and energy to engage in church attendance, Bible study, prayer, breaking of bread, obeying what the Bible tells us to do? You should do, and you should be involved with service for him. In Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, it says, For It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. You know, the New Testament talks a lot about works. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, it talks about the works of the law, which lead to nothing. It cannot save. Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the works of the flesh. There's a whole list there before the fruit of the Spirit. Romans 13, 12, it talks about the works of darkness. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it talks about dead works, works that lead to death. But in Ephesians, it talks about good works. That's in contrast to all those other ones. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we come to know the Lord, He's prepared a kaleidoscope of things for us to do that are good. They're good works. In the context of giving, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 8, it talks about bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse. And then he says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abide in what? Every good work. So part of our giving translates into we're able to do the good works. Colossians chapter 9. Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 13. Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray that in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Bearing fruit in every good work. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it talks about the Word of God. And you know, the result of the knowledge of the Word of God is that the believer is thoroughly equipped for every good work. Are you giving God the freedom to work through you? Are you listening to the Lord of the harvest? As leaders, we've been praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. And we've been praying, especially, that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers, men especially. Guys, we need help. You calculate the average age of the elders in this church, it's a little bit long, a little bit old. We want you young men, you middle-aged men, and maybe just a little bit older men, to step up to the plate and be involved in the good works that God has prepared for you. I want to tell you something. When you step out in leadership, you purchase to yourself a good work, and you will grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what our mandate is, that we would see disciples living for the Lord. And we need you men. I'm thankful God has blessed us with a lot of godly women here, and I believe we've got godly men in our midst. They just have to make that step forward. Say, okay, Lord, I don't know what I can do, but here I am. What did Isaiah say? Lord, here am I, send me. Are you willing to say that this morning? We need you guys. Don't let other gods in your life hinder you from entering into that ministry. Give thanks to the God for being God in your life. The last one. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. Once again, there's a recognition that there's other lords. So is God Lord in your life? Is he in the seat beside you, or is he at the steering wheel? Is he the commander? I want to tell you something that happened to me. As I was preparing this, that's as far as I got in my preparation. It seemed that I had, there's got to be something more here. And I was struggling with it all yesterday afternoon. Now, the book that Kevin gave me on prayer, I happened to pick it up last evening. He says, well, I've got, what's going on? It seemed to be a blockage in my preparation. And the chapter that was next that I was going to read, it was about Daniel. Daniel had read in Jeremiah the 70 weeks of the desolation of Jerusalem, but felt that there was more to be learned. So what did he do? He didn't consult the course, his books. He didn't consult other people. He went to prayer. And when I read that, I says, okay, Lord, what is it that I'm missing here? What is it that you want me to share with the people this morning? And immediately, my mind was opened up. The Lord answered my prayer almost immediately. And I was doing that when I was laying in bed ready to go to sleep. So there I was laying in bed and sermonizing. And the Lord led me to this. What does it mean to have Lord God, Lord of your life? And I asked the question, who really is God? Well, first of all, he is the eternal God. So how does that affect me? My eyes should be on eternity. And then I thought of all the omnis. You know, in Bible school, we learned about the omnis. The omnipresent, omniscience, and all those other omnis. They're the characteristics of God. Omnipresent, he's always with me. Omnipotent, all-powerful. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when God is Lord of your life, he enables us to move forward. In 1 Corinthians, we have a very interesting passage. It is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And usually people stop right there. I don't think that's right, because it says, for God has revealed it to us by his Holy Spirit. God has revealed himself to us. And we can think of the last few months when we've been looking at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have found about things about the Lord Jesus Christ that maybe are new to you. For some of us, some of them are like balm to the heart because we've heard it before. We learned when about the churches. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The picture is the Lord Jesus Christ knocking at the church door, wanting to come in. We sometimes think of it as salvation, but it's actually, he's knocking at the church door. Let me in, let me in, let me in. I want to tell you something. If you don't know it, the Lord Jesus Christ is not knocking at this chapel's door. You know why? Because he's here in our midst, and he's always been in our midst. We have never blocked him out. We've always met in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the one who has promised, if we meet together in his name, there am I in the midst. Do you sense the presence of God this morning? God is willing to stand alongside you. Regardless of what you're doing in life, regardless of what you're experiencing, he's there. I hope you feel the presence of God right now, in your heart, standing alongside you, nudging you, saying, hey, listen to John. That's what he does. Not only is that, he's the groom. Jesus Christ is the groom that's going to come for his bride, the church. John chapter 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, and he went, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That was one verse that came to me when we first entered into that COVID problems. He's coming again. We have something to look forward to. We also found in Revelation that he was the righteous judge. He is worthy of our worship and praise. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. This past week, Keith reminded us of a verse in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient past. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. The people in Jeremiah's day said, but we will not walk in them. And what it is what has worked. We have continued on in the, lack of a better word, ancient paths that we started back when this church started. We've continued on with the breaking of bread, something that God has asked all of us to partake in. It's for you that know the Lord. You're supposed to come together to remember the Lord. It starts at 9:30 for those of you who aren't aware, and you're all welcome to come. 75% of you weren't there this morning. We had 20 in breaking the bread this morning. It's something that God has asked us to do. We've continued on that in spite of everything about COVID. We've continued on with the apostles' doctrine or teaching. We've continued to preach here at Sunday morning, whether it's here or upstairs in the Sunday school, all those teachers teaching the young ones. We have continued on with Awana. We continue on with young people, women's Bible studies, home Bible studies. Are we 100% on that? No. Are we weak in areas? Yes, we are. We need help. You know, during the COVID crisis, as leadership, we decided to continue what we have always been doing in spite of the restrictions, modification of the programs, polarization, discouragement, in my case, sickness. Let's continue on. One of the things that I miss most when I was dealing with my sickness was you guys. I miss the fellowship of seeing people. I'm a people's person, and I usually thrive on people, but I couldn't do it. I missed it. Do you know what fellowship is like? It's like two fellows in a canoe going in the same direction. And we're in a great big boat, and we should all be going in the same direction. Prayer. You know, there's one thing I was able to do when I was getting better. I could pray. I'd say, I'll be praying for you. And you get in the habit of prayer. You're recognizing over and over again. Because when you pray, you say, Lord, you recognize that he's Lord of your life. What are the results of the Lord of your life? It boils down to less of me and more of him. As the Lord is Lord of your life, it's less of John and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you can experience too. It helps us to lose the grip that sometimes we have on the world and all of its allurement. And there's some great things out there. There's things that I enjoy. But I don't have to hang on to them so tight. And quite often it's more often like, okay, Lord, what's next? Because sometimes we say, well, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And we go ahead and do it. But when God is Lord of your life, you're going to say, okay, Lord, do you want me to do this? And we find that we can be resting in his abiding presence. We can be resting in his peace. We can be resting in his strength. And we can be resting in his enablement as we go forward. So in conclusion, I want to say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. Have a thankful Thanksgiving weekend. May God bless you. Jared, you had a song to close with.